We have some representatives from the West Kowloon Cultural District Authority, conceptual plan consultants, as well as the Office for Metropolitan Architecture. So do any member want to raise any conflict of interest? Yes, Peter?
Yes, I have a conflict of interest with, I think, the first team. I'm actually on that team. So
Frost and Partners?
Yes.
Good. Okay.
So I stay here and not stay anymore.
I would suggest that we allow Peter to stay here and to observe, but not to make any comments, please. Yeah.
Madam Chair, I have the same problem. I'm a member of one of the teams.
Okay.
Madam Chair, me so also. I'm also a conflict with one of the teams.
Okay, thank you. So Peter, Margaret, and Nick would stay here and observe without making any comments. Any other member want to raise any, declare any interest? Yes.
I am one of the technical advisory panel. I've been fed some confidential information, so I'd rather remain to express an opinion on this.
Yeah, right. Good. So you abstain from making any comment? Good. We still have enough members to raise comments. All right. So no more interest to declare? All right, so let's get started.
Sure, can I ask you a question? That how many people really need a very detailed briefing? Because I've had at least two, three detailed briefings. So in terms of efficiency, you may want to do a poll around this room, and because most of the people are so involved in all these projects, they may already know all the details very much. We can move into questions quickly.
Thanks for the suggestion, but I do think that, yeah, we do want to listen to, yeah, all the presentations. Thank you. But we will keep each of these presentations short. <laughs> 10 minutes each. So it is the first presentation is All right, so let's get started. First of all, I'd like to welcome the CEO of the Western Kowloon Cultural District Authority, Mr. Grantham Sheffield, to present to this task force. And all the presenters and participants who are present here. So who would make the first presentation?
Chairman, I'm Dr. Chen, the Executive Director for West Kowloon Cultural District Authority. Just like to thank the task force for inviting us to this meeting. I'd like to introduce our CEO, Mr. Graham Sheffield. Also, Bonnie Wong, also Director from the CEO office. As a matter of, just for introduction, I think you already got our paper. I just want to thank the commission for as our collaborator of our public engagement exercise, and we are actually in this public engagement exercise number 2, which I think a lot of the members here have been also helping us already. I just want to mention that we are yet to be the official user of this West Kowloon Cultural District. we are only in the concept plan stage, and we are hoping to have our development plan submitted to a town planning board by the end of next year. So just like to thank you for the invitation, and maybe we can start a presentation from our concept plan consultant. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think the first presentation is from Foster and Partners, please. I think the arrangement is we will listen to all the presentations and then we raise questions, the comments, clarifications then. Hi. Turn on the mic, please. Yes.
Is that on?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Good morning, and thanks for having us all here en masse. With apologies to many of you who I know have seen the presentations that we are all about to give many, many times, and I'm sure, should we assure you they're all only 10 minutes long. So therefore, we won't delay you very long, and we'll try to skip through it as quickly as we can. So on that note, I will dive straight in. There are four key things which I will very briefly tell you about, which is our foster and partner scheme this morning. The first of those, obviously, is the Great Park. We believe that all great cities have great parks, and we think this is the defining moment for Hong Kong to have its own great park. One thinks of New York Central Park and sort of the emblematic gesture that becomes, and we think this is the chance for Hong Kong to have its own emblematic gesture, its new means of portraying itself across the world. Hong Kong's greatest natural defining asset is its harbour. It's this extraordinary harbour, one of the great harbours of the world. We think this park should sit on the edge of this harbour. New lungs for everyone in Hong Kong, a pause, a breathing space for people within Hong Kong, sat on the edge of this extraordinary, vibrant, vital harbour that's the very sort of lungs and the very sort of nature of Hong Kong. We think that this park should be a place where people can relax, where they can cycle, where they can picnic, so there's a place where people can find repose. We also think it's a place where people should have fun, where they should be full of energy, where they can do things that they want to, all within this incredible space on the edge of this incredible harbour. We think that this place could have cafes in it. There could be places to play within it. There could be sculpture gardens within it. But mainly we just wanted to have this place that is a place for everyone, young and not so young, able-bodied and not so able-bodied. If we then move to the other key parts of this enormous task in front of all of us, how do we then design the urban part of this conundrum? We think that the ideal place to push the rest of this incredible piece of infrastructure, this huge 726,000 square meters of accommodation, is to try and attach it to the rest of Kowloon, emotionally and physically. That way we can shorten the connectivity problems that exist within this piece of new landscape. So we can then put shorter connections to all the existing parts of Kowloon, whether they are pedestrian connections, whether they are vehicle connections. And then we can connect this up even further by introducing more biobuses, by introducing more Skyrail systems that then connect up the already very complete infrastructure that runs north-south across this site. We can then connect all of this up east-west with a new series of connectors. The whole intention being to push this new piece of urban fabric hard up against the existing piece of Kowloon fabric, diminishing the connectivity problems, and then amplifying them and making them better on top of all of that. What that gives us, hopefully, then, is this completely, totally integrated transportation network that ties this new piece of city into the existing fabric of the city through all means of transport, whether they are pedestrians, whether they are cars, whether they are Skyrails, whether they are MTRs. And then to add to that, additional pedestrian routes, additional car routes, additional Skyrail routes, and also an additional ferry route. Easy access all the way through to the existing facilities. This is a typical example. This is into the Elements Kowloon Station. There would also be a new ferry connection. And that ferry connection would have a direct access straight into the heart of the new district. The design of that ferry connection would be obviously designed with the chosen operator when they are on board. What we don't want this thing to become is culture in isolation. We don't want it to be this isolated piece of culture, nowhere near anybody, cut off by big roads. We want it to be a totally integrated piece of culture. And therefore, the rich mix of the West End provides a more obvious example of how this could work. This gives you then all of the cultural facilities in this new piece of city, full of life, full of cafes, bars, shops, restaurants, hotels, offices, residences. And you get the culture in there too. So you get this incredible rich mix, not only of a new piece of city of enormous scale, plugged into this incredibly exciting, vibrant piece of city that sits right next door. You also get this layering of culture that feeds and intertwines and dominates the whole thing on top of all of that. That gives you then the chance for these cultural facilities to have an intimate relationship with the park and the harbour and the city beyond in close proximity. It also gives you the chance to have public spaces that thread through and around these new streets and squares, and also then have close relationships with the park and with the city and with the harbour beyond. We've proposed to take all of the traffic and put that below ground, so this is a pedestrian-dominated space, a people space. And we want to look to it history and tells us how we can design these new city streets and squares and buildings in a way which is appropriate for the climate that you have here in Hong Kong. And therefore, learning from what we've had here in Hong Kong before the invention of air conditioning, we can provide spaces which are shaded from sun, shaded from rain. And therefore, we have avenues and streets and spaces which are diagrammatically something like this. So full of green, full of dappled sunlight, full of life, full of activities, full of restaurants and cafes and bars, and threaded through with culture. So dance academies on the first floor, artist studios on the first floor, theatre entrances opposite. A new piece of city dominated by culture, threaded through with culture, but full of life and activity and all the excitement that is a characteristic of what we know as Hong Kong. And all of this within a completely flexible system. The idea that we don't know where art will be, let alone where Hong Kong will be in a number of years' time, and therefore trying to provide a framework for future development that is flexible enough and adaptable enough that should there be changes in the cultural fabric, the social fabric, the economic fabric of this city, then this master plan is capable of adapting and flexing with that. And therefore, plots can be developed and used as and when. And therefore, plots that are not used can then be futurally can be used as sculpture gardens, theatre spaces, outdoor amphitheatres, or whatever. The final thing then, how do we make this thing relevant not only socially, not only economically, but also culturally? We need to add into this a new mix of spaces that are capable of accommodating the culture that exists here in Hong Kong today, bringing it onto the site, making it grow from the site. Therefore, this is a cultural district that not only is dominated by the 17 venues, but also has its own unique mix of creativity in the district. We call these cultural greenhouses sprinkled through this project. They're both starter units for people to be on site and the creativity to be generated on site, not flown in from the West End, not flown in from Broadway, but a starter kit to make the energy and the creativity flow from Hong Kong. This is a shopping list. It's a suggested shopping list. It's not by no means finite. It's just a suggestion of what we could possibly have. But the idea is that then all aspects of culture throughout all parts of Hong Kong society can be then represented on site and can begin to grow on site. It really is therefore a cultural district rooted and grown from Hong Kong by the people in Hong Kong. Finally, the last part of short presentation, obviously we want this thing to be not only culturally sustainable, economically sustainable, socially sustainable, but also sustainable in green terms. How do we make this thing not produce 210,000 tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere every year, which is what currently happens if you follow contemporary building regulations here in Hong Kong? By 2014, that will be reduced to 135,000 tons, which is still an enormous amount of carbon dioxide to be pouring into the atmosphere every year. If we can avoid this, it's the equivalent to taking over 23,000 cars off the earth or not deforesting 1,100 acres of forest. There are many ways of doing this, and a series of reports that some very clever engineering that we work with. The primary one, obviously, though, is to make sure that we recycle and reuse and create energy on site. By doing this, then, we can offset many of the carbon emissions that would otherwise be produced on the site and produce this world's first zero-carbon piece of culture. Water harvesting and water recycling to make sure that the park itself is this completely sustained and sustainable piece of infrastructure is also key to the aims of this. And therefore, just to wrap this up in this very short presentation, four key points. Making sure that the cultural district itself is an extension of Kowloon, rooted in Kowloon, grown from Kowloon, from the energy, from the connectivities, making sure these connections are short and easy. Producing a great new park for Hong Kong on the edge of this extraordinary harbour, this great harbour, Hong Kong's unique defining natural asset, capitalising from that. Producing the possibility of the world's first zero carbon cultural quarter, and then trying to make this whole thing a sustainable cultural quarter in cultural terms too, going forward into the distance. And all of this within a flexible framework, trying to accommodate any changes that we don't know yet, but will happen into the future. Thank you. Hello.
Okay. Thank you. I'm Freddie Hyde, representing Rockwell Design Limited. And before I start the presentation, maybe it's also important for us to declare that Mr. Brooke and Mrs. Brooke are actually in our advisory panel. So although we very much like them to speak for us on our behalf in this occasion, but I'm afraid we have to respect the rules and we'll present this on our own.
Don't worry, they have declared their interest already.
Okay, great. Now, I think before we start this design exercise, we ask ourselves a very important question. What is it that we need to make a cultural district successful? And the result we came to is that before anything else, we have to make this part of a city, part of a working city, and the city itself must work. So that brings us to the question of why we are so fascinated by the Qingming Riverside scroll, the famous scroll, the Chinese scroll. And because a lot of people would have different aspirations and anticipations of the area, of the district that we are now creating. Some would hope different overseas performing groups will come to Hong Kong to perform so as to improve Hong Kong's exchange, cultural exchange in the international scene. Some other people might have other expectations to have perhaps the Cantonese opera to be permanently staged in with a permanent address venue. But there are also people who simply are not that into high culture, so to speak, and they just want a place to relax. They just want to come here free and enjoy their life. So this brings us back to the questions. The importance of the way we look at West Kowloon Cultural District is the importance of it is the possibility of allowing all these to happen at the same time in this area without any hindrance to anybody. It is a place for all. So that brings us back to this question, why we are fascinated by this Qingming Riverside scroll is the energy, the vibrancy, the activities on street level, and it is the all this energy and the activities of the people that makes the place work. It's not so much about the iconic building, not so much about what exact shape the building's form will take, but the activities at ground plane that interacts with the people. Now, in our plan, we have three emphasis, three points that we want to put forward. First, this district is not to be seen, not to be understood at one glance. It is a place that you have to explore. We would like to encourage people to come to this place over and over again to be able to offer a slightly different perspective every time you visit. The second point is, as I said before, this is not a place about iconic building, although we will have some iconic buildings as required in the brief. For example, the Situ Center, the Empress, the Concert Hall, and the Great Theater too. We think these are important buildings that will stand out and be the representation of Hong Kong's pinnacles of respective areas of cultural activities. But more importantly, it's the public space. It's the public space that embody these iconic buildings that are important to most people. Excuse me. Okay. The third point is about connectivity. We think the district cannot be a standalone, isolated site. The success of the district relies very much on how it is connected to its hinterland, its neighborhood, and in terms of the physical connectivity and also the cultural connectivity. For example, there are activities in the existing Yau Ma Pei area that can be integrated in and be part of our cultural agenda. So in a way, there's a continuation of the heritage, the traditional art form, local art form, with the new and more high art and popular art forms that we're going to introduce. There's a logic in how we lay out this master plan. As a master planner, we think the importance at this stage is to actually establish this framework, how these different venues will be dispositioned in this overall framework, rather than to focus on the outlook and the shape of the building. For example, in this central zone, we have the green terrain and the green belt along the waterfront as our layer, our first layer of organization. And in the north, there's a layer of what we call the city link, where you have the activities and commercials, retail, offices, and hotels. They are more integrated with the existing city fabric. In the middle is where we have the cultural spine, where we will locate the required the core art and cultural venues. But we also have a series of other arts and cultural venues that we propose on top of the required list of cultural venues. The logic for our disposition of these cultural venues is like this. The Sichu Center is located on the far east because it's closest to the existing Jordan area, where the local demographics have is more on the on the elderly people, and they are naturally more attracted to this traditional art form. So this is like a gesture to the entrance of the West Kowloon, the new West Kowloon district. And also we place the medium-sized theater next to it in anticipation that some synergies or crossover can happen between the new and the old. From the existing Jordan area, there's a series of footbridge systems that can bring the people to the new district at an elevated level, where you will be greeted with the first, the Sichu Square. In the Sichu Square, it is a large-scale multi-purpose square. It's an open square where you can have the celebration activities, or in special occasion and festivities, you can even have the temporary bamboo sheds erected, or during the New Year's Eve, you can have the countdown events happened here. From this area, there are actually three ways you can access the entire site. You can either take the tram, which will run along what we call the tramway, along the northern edge of the site, or you can simply scroll along the pedestrianized street in the middle of through the middle of the site. Or if you take a bicycle, you can cycle along the waterfront. These three routes represent different modes of transportation and also different speed of transportation. So it will allow different choices for you to enjoy the site at your own desire. If you travel along the tramway, taking the tram, this will be what you see. This is the tramway. It's a tram system running along with the vehicular system. And then we have the Black Box Theater in the cultural spine, where the young and the new explorative minds can do their experimentation in these less defined spaces in between. Further down the tram line, you will see there are gaps where you will have the opportunity to walk along the what we call the art venue, the pedestrianized streets. Along the pedestrian line streets, there will be retail to supplement the cultural activities. So it will not just be a defined cultural spine, but it's a mix of retail and cultural activities complementing each other. Along the art venue, you'll get glimpses of the harbor through the alleyways, looking down towards the Hong Kong Island. And as you come to the far end of the site, because of the natural contour of the elevator walkway, there will be a series of steps that you see, and you'll be able to look into different corners of the site to explore interesting spaces of the existing of the proposed public open spaces. In the middle of the site, where we purposely put the M Plus and the concert hall flanging the central square, this will be the focus of the cultural district. And also this will be the major public space where people from the XRL station can go through and access to the waterfront. And then we have the music forecourt in front of the concert hall. The music forecourt will be at the same level as the waterfront and interact with the activities of the waterfront. So imagine if you walk down the waterfront, this will be a local enlarged space, a local open space where you can take a rest and enjoy the music performance there, and will be free. Along the waterfront, we propose some pontoons, art pontoons, floating on the harbor, and that will effectively extend the appreciation of space into the harbor and integrate with the activities in the harbor. On the art pontoon, we propose there could be occasional performances and activities linked by a drawbridge system. So the drawbridge, when they are not lowered, they can be featured or integrated with street lighting system, but when they are lower down, they become the connection points to these floating pontoons. On the far end, we will have a theater steps, because we have proposed to locate the Greek Theater and the theater complex here. This will be like a theater land for the cultural district, and this theater steps will be like a giant grand spectator stand for people to enjoy the view of the harbor. And then further down, we have this space here where we can use for Sunday flower market and waterfront market for occasional uses. And as you reach to the harbor park, this will be a large-scale open space where you can just take your time with your family and enjoy spending the leisure time here. Part of it will
be... How long will your presentation be? It's about 10 minutes already.
Will be another 5 minutes?
Another 5 minutes.
Okay.
So,
I'll try to be quick.
Yeah,
I'll
try to be quick and, yeah, you know, try to, you know, run up in time. Run up, please.
Yeah. And then we will have a floating swimming pool in the harbor. This will, again, be in a pontoon structure. At the far end, we have proposed a multi-purpose venue and also a forum, a banyan forum on top, where we will have this suspended bridge to allow people to enjoy a totally different perspective of the harbor by walking along this bridge and above the harbor. This is the view looking out to the far west. And at night, it could be used as a screen, a water screen, for projection, like an outdoor theater. So an important aspect of our design is to make use of the three-dimensional space in recognition of the fact that behind our site, the existing developments are actually quite built up and the main circulation level is actually not on ground level. Behind our site, to the north of our site, are two major railway stations, Austin and the planned XRL, and also the elements. Because of that, our site is elevated, and to allow people to come gradually down to the waterfront, because the waterfront will be a natural draw for visitors coming to this district. So we take advantage of this multi-level and make it into a major characteristics of the site. Now, in our planning of our design, we've actually taken into considerations of the harbor planning principles, preserving the Victoria Harbor. I think we have achieved that. We haven't proposed any change to the existing seawall. Stakeholder engagement, this is an exercise we have participated, and we will continue doing this with under the direction of the West Kowloon Cultural District Authority. Sustainable development, I think in this case our build-up areas are aligned according to the wind directions, and we try to, as you can see in this picture, develop a stepped building height to lower the building mass along the waterfront. And also we try to integrate everything into the planning principles. In terms of sustainable development, we have proposed photovoltaic panels, wind farms, grey water recycling to try to make this a sustainable development and carbon neutral development as an example for Hong Kong. In this case, the on-site energy generated from our wind farm and the photovoltaic panel is sufficient to power the tram system. So the tram system itself will run on totally self-sustained energy generated on-site. And finally, proactive harbor enhancement. By proposing the pontoons and all the piers and ferry connections, we think we bring vitality not just into the pedestrian district, but also on the marine, on the harbor as well. And by doing so, we try to propose a vibrant harbor along the waterfront, and it is an accessible harbor. As can be seen in this picture here, the waterfront will be a vibrant waterfront with different scenarios of landscape decks and filtration gardens proposed along the way. So it's an integration of sustainable technology with landscape, with leisure, and with transportation. So that's it of my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So let's hear the last presentation from OMA. Mr. Zervic Gionotin.
Thank you very much. I will just first give a quick introduction in the general plan, and then I will try to zoom in on the harbor front and everything that is related to the water. First of all, when we came to Hong Kong, for us it was kind of an exploration of a very vibrant business city, but also we experienced that there is an extreme amount of nature around. But within that nature, we found a typology that is the village, that is a very interesting typology that is still very vibrant in Hong Kong. Oh, I think you don't see the slides. Somebody needs to change. Yeah. Yeah, now you see the village. You missed the first two. I will not go back to them, but at least you see the village, which is important. We were very excited about the existence of this model within a big city like Hong Kong, because there's a lot of interaction between people in villages, and interaction in our point of view is the start of culture. So we tried to take this typology as a starting point for our design. And we had to plan 726,000 square meters on a 40 hectare site. And by doing so, we wanted to kind of make the whole site a landscape that tied everything together. And on top of that landscape, we proposed to build three villages, all villages with a different part of the program and distributed on the site in such a way that there's easy communication and access to them. Here you see a model shot of how that will work for our plan, the M+ village in the east, the theater village in the west, and the middle village in the middle. The park, the landscape, tying it all together, has different fields within them, trees, meadows, and all kinds of other kind of activity fields. What we try to do is to go from a situation that is in Hong Kong everywhere when you go to a park, where everything is forbidden, to a situation where in Hong Kong, even within a park, you can do things. And we really propose to therefore take off all the management and really make sure and that people can use part of the park. And that would then give situations where people can sit under a tree and think about culture, but also situations where people could swim and have activities in a swimming pool near the harbor. This is one of the things that I will get back to later on. But for us, building a cultural district is also looking into culture of a city. And when we looked at the program, we saw that most of the venues that are proposed are really passive venues. So you buy a ticket, you go there, and you leave again. And in our opinion, art is not passive consumption. Art is work. And looking at art is extremely exciting, but only 0.6% of the people of Hong Kong are employed in the cultural sector and in the art sector. And we think that there is a big opportunity to grow. To be able to do that, we think other programs is also needed. There needs to be a program that where artists can produce art, but also where they can rehearse it. But there also need to be educational facilities, not only for artists, but also for the public, so that they can start respecting part of the art and that the public will be kind of educated. Therefore, we propose to build less theaters, not all 17, but four less, and substitute that program into art schools, archives, visual art factories, production facilities for the performing arts, and also a flexible space where people can decide themselves how to use it. Art in the East, as I already said, the M-Plus Village, a three-dimensional village, a stack of the exhibition center, the M-Plus Museum, and the art factory where artists can produce work, and housing facilities, and therefore an incubator for the visual arts. Then in the East, in the West, the Performing Arts Village. In the west, there's the sunset, an unbelievable nice view, 3 kilometers free view with green islands, and we think you should really use that. And therefore, in the west, we have an RDE located village with, in the back, the Universal Theater, a theater where 4 theaters are combined with all their facilities so that interaction between the parts of the art can happen. The Grand Theater, and here the Chamber Music Hall with a view to Hong Kong. In the middle, a village that is catered towards Hong Kong as more a commercial center, with on one edge the Sichu Theater, which is also on the waterfront, and then in between a street market and an art market, and that's in the east with Premiere Film Theater. Film was missing in the program, while we thought that was really strange because it's a cultural aspect of Hong Kong that you can't forget if you're building a cultural district. Now the harbor. This was the situation in 2000. In front of the XLR, there was no reclamation yet. This is the situation in 2009 and still growing, especially on the opposite side of the harbor. And then what we propose is to give some water back, or some land back to the water. We create 2 water inlets within our plan that are connected to our West Village, but also that is connected to our Middle Village. And then we hope that from 2023 the situation could be like this. The waterfront itself has a lot of different kind of feelings to it, not one continuous waterfront that has one function, but 13 different kind of types of waterfront that have also different activities and that form part of the open space or the public space. There will be a sculpture fountain with a waterfront promenade really to the water. There will be a boardwalk that is above the water so that you can really experience the Victoria Harbour, but there will also be kind of real nature that goes through the water so that you can again sit under a tree and enjoy also the view over the water. There will be really vibrant parts where there are terraces, cafes, RDE facilities close to the water and where people can also sit close to the water. And as I said, there will be water inlets both at the CTU Theater and at the Grand Theater or the Universal Theater, where water taxis, which is a transportation system we propose to insert within Hong Kong, where terraces can be around, but also all kinds of facilities can cross over, and where people can really enjoy the water from close by. And there will be kind of parts, like there is already a circle, a concrete circle now that will be close to the water where people can really relax and be very, like, doing tai chi and things like that. Then another important part that also goes towards the waterfront later is that we also looked at the traffic situation around the site. In the current condition, one intersection is really critical and others are extremely poor. If you then inject the XRL and do the enhancement of the traffic situation that is proposed, this changes slightly and a few become better, but still there is a lot of critical sections around and also poor intersections around. Then if you inject West Kowloon in it without doing anything, most of these intersections become kind of black. You simply can't reach West Kowloon anymore. And in our opinion, that is not our responsibility as an urban planner, just plan West Kowloon and then leave the rest up to others. So we try to find a solution, and there is a solution, and that is by linking the two major roads. You can create a situation that West Kowloon, but also most of the current situation in Jordan can be enhanced. And therefore we propose a new connection in the west, a connection in this case in the form of a loop bridge above the harbor. And we create it in such a way that it is a suspension bridge on top of existing structures, so no new structures in the water are needed, and also on such a height that the barges that go to the typhoon shelter can still pass, so that it doesn't disturb the function of the typhoon shelter at all, but that solves the traffic situation completely. It does also something else. Hong Kong is not very good in approaches. This is the view from the main entrance of the China Bank, maybe one of the major buildings in Hong Kong. It's completely hidden between our infrastructure, and we think that a West Kowloon Cultural District really deserves an approach, kind of a way that everybody knows how to find it, a real address. And this bridge can be also a landmark that really points out where West Kowloon is and how you access it. If you build this bridge, you solve a lot of problems, especially a lot of traffic problems, but you also create this landmark, as I just said. If for any political reason or financial reason or other reasons this bridge could not be possible, you can also, we also developed an alternative that solves most of the traffic problems, but where you don't have the landmark issue or the approach issue anymore. So an alternative that we just propose as a kind of real alternative, and let's not consider it in our point of view. That is what I wanted to tell you for today.
Thank you very much. So I think on this agenda item, there are mainly two things. The first thing is to invite members to give comments on the three conceptual plans. But I think there is also another major item that we want to see, like especially from the Western Kowloon Cultural District, because in this district, that's going to be very important land-water interface that is falling within the terms of reference of this task force. So we have been, you know, trying to answer this question, especially in this meeting, is how this task force can collaborate more closely with the Western Kowloon Cultural District Authority in order to further collaborate on this. I think this is also very closely related to the first point that, like, our comments on the conceptual plan. So could I ask the Western Cultural District Authority to give us some idea on this and how we have collaborated with the authority in the past?
Yes, Chairman. I think first of all, the Harbourfront Commission is our collaborator, so it's like always collaborating in terms of our public engagement also. And in terms of the future collaboration, we welcome suggestion from the task force also.
Okay, thank you. Any comments from members? Yes, Paul?
I'm a little bit surprised for the three design firms to come to the Harbourfront Enhancement Committee and not utter the word Harbourfront Enhancement Principles and Harbourfront Enhancement Guidelines. Maybe you're not aware of them, but they exist, but they do exist. I was just somewhat, if you did not refer to those words, although the last presentation probably had spent more time on focusing on actually the how interactive the waterfront is. So I hope that the other two designers maybe could give a little bit more detail about how active they see their waterfronts and how waterfronts can be animated and active. In general, I saw in the City Park a reference to the Central Park of New York, which is of course from all sides enclosed by city. And there's probably a lot of activity generators on all four sides of that park that drive activities through that park. But how do you see, especially with Foster's design, that the waterfront to be an active, animated waterfront in your current design, I think is a question. On the Rocco side, I hope that Rocco, and Freddie here for Rocco, could explain how the level changes through his design is compatible with the fact that we've got an aging population and people climbing up and down stairs. It's definitely going to be more difficult. I can feel my knees, and I'm only 50. But if I see, look at your plan, and I start to feel my knees really badly. And in terms of accessibility of waterfront, then squeaking knees and lots of staircases probably don't really work very well. And the issue of the in terms of reclamation and impairment of the water, I noticed that Foster's are trying to avoid it entirely. And I see that Kohlhaas, the team here, trying to give us back a bit of the water. But I'm not sure that's technically possible, but I'm sure not sure what's underground, but you may have checked that. So if you can highlight whether it's technically feasible in your plan, where you've got water pipes there already. How do you see the reclamation issues? It's not just about nice to have, as the judge said. So anything that you propose could have somewhat add value to the harbour. Otherwise, there's no way you can pass the public overriding needs test. So can you highlight your Morocco's side, that issue? I think those are my opening questions, Chair.
Thank you very much. Other comments before we ask them to respond? No, then I think first of all, we want to have some... Okay, we want to have some clarity, please. How to make the waterfront active and dynamic under your conceptual plan?
Yeah, hi. Probably the limitations of our 10-minute slot here probably inhibits us somewhat, therefore. But I'm more than happy to talk to you about it another time. As I'm sure we probably will do. In the expanded version of our presentation, there are a number of ways you can animate the park, and that's exactly what we would like to do. Where I briefly said in the presentation that we think the park should be a place where people can pause, where they can relax. We also think it should be a place where people can be free to do whatever they want. We also said we think it should be a place where people could be interacting with culture. We also said we think it should be a place where people can stop for a coffee, stop for a a beer with their friends or and other things as well. If you look at the plan in detail in terms of starting from the east and running to the west, the eastern end of the project we have the M+. The M+ is bang up against the harbour, and in front of that there will be a series of courtyards and spaces, cafes and bars that will spill out from that into a series of associated spaces that are next to that as well. As you move further east, there are a series then of commercial buildings and cultural buildings, all of which would then have relationships with each other, relationships with the park, and therefore relationships with the water's edge as well. And again, the animation of those in terms of cultural activities, in terms of cafes and bars that spill out from lobbies of commercial buildings and cultural buildings and animate the edge or not, in a, as the case may be, is also then something that we would expect to happen. Moving on further down to the west, we then get to the relationship with the broader park as a series, having moved through a series of sort of urban rooms of landscaping that's also defined in our sort of slightly bigger report. So moving through these urban green rooms, you then get to this more open, if you like, freer park space that has a initially a closer relationship with the Opera House and the two medium theatres that sit opposite that. Again, the interaction between those two and the interactions with the park is something that we think could be animated either by cultural or by social activities or by economic activities. Moving on further than down west again, you then get to the outdoor amphitheatre. The outdoor amphitheatre animating the edge of the park, animating the views from the park across, again, open parkland space to the city beyond. Moving on further west from that, we then get to the hotel. The hotel, again, we think is an animator of the edge of the park, slightly removed from the edge, but again, animated and linked to it. Within the park itself, we think there could be many opportunities for all sorts of activities, coffee shops, pause spaces, cultural activities, sculpture gardens, theatre gardens, whatever you would want to do. And we've sort of suggested a few within the wider context of our report. But again, these are starter suggestions. They are starter suggestions that go with the suggestions we've also offered for the other arts and cultural facilities. There's many, many possibilities here. We've offered shopping lists. We're more than happy to see what anyone's views are to sort of make those more defined. Finally, before I carry on too much, the very end of the project, then right at the western end, then we have the mega performance venue and the exhibition centre, linked to the hotel and again linked to the waterfront. We think again the possibilities here for 24-hour round-the-clock activities linked to the waterfront and linked to activations of the waterfront in terms of coffee shops, bars, restaurants, cafes are sort of immediately obvious, and the link is, I guess, the final part in the show.
Can actually he provide that on a piece of paper with table of accommodation and the locations of all of the proposed, because I've never seen it.
So Rocco, please. I think we just come back, okay, after Rocco has responded.
Okay. Do you mind turning on my monitor? Okay, thank you. Just to answer Paul's first question about level changes, I think in our presentation we have included this this slide, which demonstrate a very real and present situation. In our study and analysis with our traffic consultants, a lot of the people, in fact majority of the people, will come to the site by railway system. Okay, whether it's the XRL or the Austin station or via the current station at the Elements. Now, in our design, we also would like to encourage use of the railway system because it's a greener system, it's more environmentally friendly, it has all the benefits. So if you look at it from this perspective, all the people coming in from the railway station will actually arrive not on ground level because they will have difficulty crossing the Canton Road. They will actually have to negotiate up within the station complex to a level above ground. So in connecting to this above ground level, this elevated level, our system actually facilitates a very gradual and very effortless descending from this elevated level to the waterfront, and hence this is the reason behind our gentle slopes and gentle ramp system. Now, in answering to Paul's question about how about people coming to the site in vehicles on ground level, of course that can be dealt with escalators or elevators for the disabled, for the elderly, with no problem. I don't think that will be a major concern at the planning stage. for how to mitigate the level changes. I'm sure the detail designer will have a lot of innovative ways to work out this detail. Now, in answering to the second questions, may I introduce you to another slide. Now, the way we look at the proposal, the items that we propose for the waterfront, is not just the nice to haves. Okay, they actually add values to the vitality and the activities to the waterfront. And most importantly, throughout the public engagement exercise we've been to, we've heard time and again that opinion from the general public that they would like access to the site, not just from the land side through vehicular traffic, but also from the water side through ferry connections. So from that perspective, we have to cater for or allow opportunities, at least at planning stage, opportunities for ferry connections, for activities on the waterfront that are not infringing onto the Protection of Harbour Ordinance. So what we propose are a series of flotation systems, pontoons that are anchored to the seabed but can be easily unanchored and towed away. So they are not permanent structures, and we think this in principle, at least in spirit, is not in contravention with the Protection of the Harbour Ordinance. But of course, whether this will be stand up to the test of the public opinion, we have confidence that this is in spirit what the protection of the harbour is about. It's not about protection of the waterfront surface area. It's a protection of harbour in all its entirety, including the activities, including the vitality.
Thank you very much. Paul, I thought you have a follow-up question for the first consultant.
No, he has already answered it. He said he will provide that information, but I'm looking forward to Jim Nothan's comments on the feasibility of his waterfront proposal.
Good. So, other comments on the conceptual plan?
Can I also answer my question? Sorry. Thank you, Paul, for your comment. We have been working with engineers on the feasibility of the waterfront and where we could make the inlets. And what we did, we looked very specifically on the existing facilities on the site, and especially on these two locations, there are almost no facilities around. So we proposed these inlets specifically on these two locations. You can't move them around easily. And there's just one pipe that we have to change in routing. And we anyway proposed that to do that because of the cooling system for us will be kind of arranged differently. We use a backbone that goes from east to west. So we anyway propose to change a few of the pipes that are existing already within the new system of the district. So there is no difficulty of making the inlets for existing facilities. Of course, the key wall is a issue you need to address. How are you going to make these inlets? And we, in our technical proposal, we have a full drawing and a detailed drawing of how these inlets could be made. So we are very confident that they are completely feasible, as is the bridge.
Thank you very much. I think, yes. Carlos?
Thank you, Kennedy. Yeah, properly, I think all the three designs are quite attractive to me. While you were walking through all these three conceptual plans, I didn't have any idea how to assess them. But all suddenly come to my mind that there may be a few things we take it quite seriously when we consider which plan is more superior than the other or more suitable than the others. Particularly, I don't know whether because of the shortage of time we don't have much information here to be present, but anyways, from my perspective, first of all, I'd like to see that when you come to the conceptual plans, you need to answer what is your understanding about culture. Do you adopt a broadening, for example, broadening perspective or a deepening perspective? Westlaw is, I think that's some starting point then for your design. I think this is the some sort of theoretical underpinning for your design. That's the first part. The second, when you go to a more detail, I think a few aspects that I'd like to consider. First of all, of course, we like to see that the open space after the job is in presenting your designs, including all the buildings, how many open space do we have, and so that people can enjoy. The second thing is that your design, well, at least target group, particularly you design for, serve for which group of people or professional, anything you would like to do. The third one is the variety of activity to be done there, and how many kind of different activity and which category they are. So I think that's just the thing. Of course, may not be the more the better, but may address certain kind of theme. Probably the last one, we can keep the list on, but and the last one is the sustainability issue, environmentally friendly. Although every design, every conceptual plan has sold them the idea of sustainability, but actually we don't have the figures how sustainability you are in which aspect. So this is why I think we need to, for me, if I had to judge, I probably, this is my starting point. I don't think the list is ending here, but at least that's my immediate thinking, given that I think this is the first time I encounter with these three plans, so I may not be able to provide more comprehensive view. So that's it for me.
Thank you. So I think we do have a wish list here, more information, more visibility on culture, open space, activities, and so on. Actually, I would like to add on to this wish list, especially on my personal perspective, is also on foster. How this carbon neutral concept is being implemented, is it's mainly through the buildings or the separation of traffic and so on. And I think this actually brings us to a very important thing. A lot of these actually is because that this is basically a conceptual plan. I understand that we are at the stage two of this public engagement exercise. So when will it end, and what's the plan ahead? So what would be the stage three of this public engagement exercise, especially in relation to the time frame, the details, because I think this task force would really like to consider, especially we have a lot of professional members from planning and so on, that would have comments on the architectural designs as well as the detailed aspects of it. Please.
I think I also like to focus on the capacity of this area. So how many people you expect to come, and it can accommodate to how many people it actually can accommodate in terms of also its activity and also the transportation systems.
Thank you. So that would be for the consultants, like we would like to see like the traffic capacity and the circulation within the area in terms of people. The Western Cultural Authority, please.
Chairman, our public engagement in stage two will end by the 20th of November, and after that we will spend some time looking at the result of the engagement. And our public engagement stage three, our initial plan is about middle of next year.
A point of order, it's 12:05, and we're asking a lot of technical questions and detailed questions from each of the proponents. It might take a long time, and including your own question about carbon neutrality and where it comes from. So I would suggest, could we raise the question to the district to the West Kowloon Cultural District Authority, whether they are going to look at those three proposals and answer the question that you had and that you had and that we had, and start to put comparison tables on their website, taking out the indicators and criteria, and putting it on the website, and start analyzing these three proposals and putting them side by side. Right now, it's very difficult for a layman, or for any of us, to answer any of the questions by going into the individual proposals, which are massive technical documents, last proposals. It would really be nice if the Cultural District Authority could do that for us, and then we can go side by side and compare them on carbon neutrality, traffic capacity, how many people walk, all of these issues can really then be seen
And as over time more criteria and indicators will be identified by the public, by various commissions, and we can then see how these things compare, because to me it's very difficult. Even the simple thing of a schedule of accommodation of the three proposals seen side by side, it's impossible for me to find it other than do it myself on a piece of paper.
Thank you very
much. Saves them all time now.
Yeah, actually, I think you've made a very good point that actually could we, you know, like suggest to the Western Kowloon Cultural District Authority that we could make like comparison tables and how, you know, questions that is being raised by members of the commission could be addressed and compared. And in relation, could I also ask, like, if members still have questions on technical aspects and so on, please send it to the secretariat so that as a whole for this task force, we can come up with a list of questions that will be helpful to the consultants and to the authority to answer these questions, like, at stage three of the public engagement exercise.
I have one additional recommendation forward to Paul's ideas, and he also mentioned about the principle for harbourfront development. It's good to have to ask individual conceptual plan to have a table to show how far they have addressed this issue and how they address individual principles of harbourfront development.
Yes, I think we could adopt this also as the suggestion of this task force. So with this, could I thank you all the consultants as well as, yes, sorry.
Chair, if I can break my silence. First of all, could I welcome Graham, welcome the authority formally on behalf of the Commission. I see this relationship as a very important relationship, and obviously today is just the start, if you like, of a dialogue between us. As you know, for better or for worse, the Commission has been appointed as the champion for the waterfront, and although strictly speaking our remit excludes West Kowloon, the reality is that this is what all the consultants have mentioned today. We have to look at things holistically. And we do see ourselves working very closely with you in the future. One thought for you to take away is government essentially is appointed as their agent and advisor for the design and management and maintenance of the waterfront. There might be a role where the Commission could be your agent, if you like, your advisor, or, not obviously on cultural and other aspects, but we could become your champion, if you like, for the waterfront and help you create a waterfront which is world class, and we'd very much welcome working with you on that. Thank you.
Thank you. That's really. Yeah.
Chairman, thank you very much for that suggestion and for the welcome. I'm mostly in listening mode at the moment, which is why I'm not saying very much. But I would thank you for that suggestion about working and echoing my colleague Dr. Chan's comment about a collaborative relationship and your thought that you could act as it were, quotes, agent advisor on this. I mean, certainly, without being drawn into any of the specifics of the individual plans, even in my limited time here, I'm struck by how important an issue this is, about the need to make that waterfront accessible, animated, but also a place for reflection and relaxation as well. It is one of the jewels of the site, quite apart from the cultural facilities. I just make one general comment that I was on the waterfront by the cultural centre yesterday, where there was a 4-hour jazz concert there, which was very well attended, and an example, I think, of how you can animate a waterfront and attract a lot of people for a relaxed and informal atmosphere that's close to the water, that engages with the water, that allows people to look across the harbour in a very nice environment. And I would love nothing better than to recreate a different version of that further along the harbourfront. So in answer to the gentleman there about broadening or deepening, this is an inclusive space, not an exclusive space. And we will have a very broad definition of what cultural activities are there, and we will try not to be too prescriptive about it, because people will make this site, not us, and people will animate it, and people will bring their own ways of animating this. And it's, I think, the job of whichever plan we choose to enable and facilitate that to happen, rather than be very prescriptive about it. But I welcome a lot of the comments. I think it's a very exciting proposal. The waterfront is absolutely key, and I look forward to working with you. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Nick, for supplementing this and for the comment of Graham. We just want to, I think this is very good, because we want to show that there are goodwills, you know, on this side of the table, and really want to collaborate more closely with the authority. And before I close this item, is just now I suggested that members, if you have comments on these technical aspects, you may send it to the Secretariat. May I kind of set a time frame that we do this within this week, please? All right. Thank you very much.